Have you ever walked past the dumpster and been like, yo, I wonder what's in that dumpster?
I can put on these glasses. Let's start eating that trash.
Yeah, there's a baby in the garbage can!
There should be no law against killing people. I know it's a wrong thing, but... Hell, you restrict somebody from it, they're gonna want it back.
We found our victim, and sad as it may be, she's our friend. But you know what? We all have to make sacrifices. Our first victim is going to be Cassie's daughter. She's gonna be alone in a big, dark house, out in the middle of nowhere. How perfect can you get? I mean, holy shit, dude.
I'm horny just thinking about it.
Hell yeah.
You're listening to the True Crime Dumpster Podcast with hosts Amy and...
Kevin and...
Friday.
And we are coming back at you this week with episode 46, The Scream Copycat Murders, and specifically, the murder of Casey Jo Stoddart. The only homework Kevin had this week was to sit down and watch the first Scream movie with me, so what did you think?
Well... I remember it back in the day, but I never got into it because it was just too cheesy. And I will stand by my statement that
you weren't scared.
Still too cheesy. They just kind of beat to death the horror movie references and stuff. You know, I mean, at least the chicks were hot. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and, but she dies like within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I know, but.
I know, she's so cute in it.
Yeah, and
Neve Campbell.
Family of four?
Party of five. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought that was the name.
It's very cute.
It's party of five.
That guy, not the cute guy, but Matthew Lillard. The fucking annoying guy that gets stabbed a bunch at the end.
Shh. Spoilers.
Oh,
it's only 24
yeah,
years old.
Yeah, it's been like 50 years since the movie came out. That guy has a face more punchable than the Covington kid. I gotta say that.
Who's the Covington kid?
That was the kid that like smiled at the Native American guy and then got death threats.
What?
It's a news story. Come on. Friday, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You're gonna have to say that a lot fucking louder.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Friday, did you ever watch the Scream movies?
I have seen it, yeah.
See, the thing is, so when it came out, Kevin was 20, I was 12, and you were probably like 9 or 10. So it's probably a lot scarier for me and Friday because you're fucking old.
No, it was cheesy.
It was cheesy, but it was still scary, right? Like that, like your friends could be murderers. No?
I think Vince should have worn that mask when he was playing guitar with Black Witchery, actually.
So, does it hold up to 24 years of whatever?
You know, I honestly, it's entertaining.
Okay. So, it does hold up.
Yeah.
Like, it's still good to watch.
Yeah. There's some twists and turns. You get the... I think almost see some boobies. So it's like a classic. It's they're trying really hard to make it like a classic horror film. And I guess at this point it's found this little space.
Yeah. Unfortunately for some people in a different way.
Yeah. For kids like you that got scared by Scream. So
and then
sorry for you. I watched The Exorcist and that scared the shit out of me and it was changed my life.
Well, so
I couldn't be more thankful.
So the Scream movies, my dad came when I watched it when I was 12 with my dad. And then after the movie, he came into my room with a butcher knife and like a Halloween mask on. And I actually wasn't scared, but I wish I was, you know, because I would have been as my dad.
So I fully endorse this style of parenting and I am going to adopt it myself. So get ready.
Did either of you ever watch the other Scream movies? I don't know how many there are, but
there's like there's 15.
I've seen several of them.
I know that there was a spoof of Scream, which was Scary Movie. I never saw any of those.
I think those are better than Scream.
Oh, really? I know that David Cross was in them. That's about all I remember.
It was like the Wayans brothers, right?
It's like the Wayans brothers, and I think David Cross is definitely in at least a couple of them. maybe the later ones. But yeah, I never saw any of those.
Well, did you ever see the one that I Know What You Did Last Summer that came out in the same time? Those, I thought those were way better.
Yeah, and I was super into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so I love Sarah Michelle Gellar, and she's the main chick in that.
Reminds me of, like, My Bloody Valentine and movies like that. Like, those are actual, like, good, like, slasher movies.
Yeah. I have not watched enough scary movies this month, so I was glad to do this episode, because then I knew we were at least going to watch Scream. So maybe we'll watch Scream 2 and see how terrible it is. I wonder if Neve Campbell from the party of, from the Family of Four.
Family of Four. She's got such nice pouty lips.
She's very pretty, yes.
So there are at least three separate cases that are said to be inspired by the Wes Craven franchise, which we will talk about today. Wes Craven got the idea for the film in part by the Gainesville Ripper, Danny Rowling, who killed a total of 8 people, 5 college students in Gainesville, Florida, and 3 more in Shreveport, Louisiana. He was picked up on suspicion of burglary and just started confessing to other murders he had recently committed. There's a good chance that he may be another episode down the line. Anyway, let's get into our cases today.
The first case is the case of Allison Cambier.
Lonely Belgian lorry driver, Ferry Jerzine.
That's
Can
a
you please start over? I think it's Terry.
Terry?
Theory?
Theory.
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 Terry.
Theory.
Just say Terry.
Jerzine.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Give me my beer.
No, because you'll drink it while you're reading.
He's going to get dehydrated.
Lonely Belgian lorry driver Thierry Jerzine, 24, chose 15-year-old schoolgirl Allison Cambier as his victim. There were neighbors.
They were neighbors. So why you can't drink?
They were neighbors, and she had dropped by to exchange videotapes with him.
What?
He flirted with her, but she rejected his advances. He went into the next room, grabbed his Scream costume and 2 kitchen knives, and proceeded to attack her, ripping open her left side. He put her blood-soaked body on his bed and put a rose into one of her hands. He called his father and a colleague to confess. Later on, he told police that he was motivated by the Scream movie franchise. He had no prior criminal record or any offenses at all on his record. He blamed the whole franchise?
He just said that he was inspired by all the Scream movies, and that's why he had to do it.
I thought you were, like, reading typo negative lyrics there for a hot second.
That was the first case?
Mm-hmm. This is the second one now.
Mario Salvador Padilla, 16, and Samuel Jeremiah Ramirez, 15, watched the movies Scream and Scream 2, wanting to emulate the Grim Reaper costumes and talk with voice distortion boxes. However, they couldn't afford these things, so they pulled their shirts over their heads and proceeded to slash and stab Mario's mother, Gina Castillo, to death with an assortment of many knives.
There's the creepy ice cream man.
Yeah, he doesn't sell ice cream. Anyways, they also conspired to murder the stepdad, Pedro Castillo, but he wasn't home at the time. He was getting ice cream from the ice cream man. Gina held onto life long enough to call 911 and report that her son and his cousin had killed her.
Or, I guess, stabbed her. Can you?
Yeah, she's calling from beyond the grave. She also called her husband to tell him the same.
That's sad. That was her last phone call, was to her husband. And then she was dead by the time they got there.
So that doesn't sound like it's a pleasant death, because that sounds like you have enough time to make a couple phone calls. And
yeah,
it sounds like
she's
it's
bleeding out.
Probably very painful, yes.
Yeah. And to be killed by your son.
Yeah, that, and, yeah.
And, like, most likely your sibling's son as well.
It also doesn't sound like it's inspired by Scream at all, other than the fact that they're wearing, like, masks.
Well, no,
they
weren't.
They didn't even have. They just put their shirts over their head like Cornholio.
Yeah.
They didn't kill their parents.
Well, there's more to it. There's more to it.
When taken into custody, Mario confessed to police that he fatally stabbed his mother because she made him empty the trash and grounded him as punishment.
It's not funny, haha. But it's ridiculous. Yeah.
They also wanted the $150 in the piggy bank by Gina's new one-month-old baby's bed.
Yeah, and that, so part of the murder, too, is they wanted the $150 to go buy the scream costumes and the voice distortion boxes. So he killed his mom basically over $150. Isn't that insane?
Did he go buy the scream costumes afterwards?
I'm pretty sure that they were arrested before they could do that.
Can I go out on a limb and say these guys are both cunts?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. These guys are both cunts.
They couldn't even complete a simple task.
Well, it's a little overkill.
Go steal a fucking Scream costume.
Yeah, right. They're upstanding enough.
They're like, they want to actually raise money by killing their family to go buy the Scream costume.
But also, just steal the piggy bank. Leave your mom alone. I mean, this is the same thing we were talking about last week of Family Annihilators. Like, we wish that people would just leave their families alone and either just kill themselves or do something else, you know?
Exactly. Just kill yourselves.
Yeah, if you want to. Kill each other, you know, I guess. Don't kill your innocent mother.
Yeah. Oh, it's because they let me watch horror movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably, I'm sure that was used as a defense.
It's influenza.
Actually, the judge actually said that they could not even mention the movie. The judge said that they couldn't even mention the movie Scream at all the entire time throughout the trial because it wasn't, because they couldn't blame it on the movie.
It's like Beetlejuice. They couldn't say it three times. Or
nope, it has nothing to do with it. Keep moving on. Okay.
Wes Craven.
Yeah. Both Mario and Samuel were convicted of first-degree murder. Their sentences were visited again in 2012 because of sentencing guidelines for minors, but I believe their sentences were upheld.
Yeah, so they were tried as adults, and so they got life sentences. And then we're going to talk about it. It actually comes up in the next case as well. In 2012, there was a court case that kind of made it seem like giving life sentences to minors is unconstitutional or unjust punishment or something, cruel and unusual punishment or something. So a lot of cases were revisited to see if the life sentence without parole should be upheld or not. And so some cases were and some cases weren't, kind of depending on the circumstances. And you can best be sure that cases involving especially boys of color were given harsher sentences, and a lot of them were reduced because not all of them were murder. You know, kids underage, especially kids of color, were getting like life sentences without parole for like minor violations, you know?
Yeah, it's low insane. Level drug charges.
Yeah. But today we're going to focus on the murder of Casey Jo Stoddart. Casey Jo Stoddart loved music, animals, and drawing. She was born and raised in Pocatello, Idaho. In 2006, she was a 16-year-old junior at Pocatello High School. Pocatello is the fifth largest city in Idaho with a population of more than 55,000, and it was also a stop on the Oregon Trail. I just felt like throwing in a few facts there.
Yeah, nice.
She was a trusted teenager and often house sat for her family members. On the night of September 22nd, 2006, Cassie was house-sitting for her aunt and uncle, watching their three cats and two dogs while they were out of town for the weekend. That night, she invited over her boyfriend, Matt Beckham, who got there around 6 p.m. Later, friends slash classmates of theirs, Brian Lee Draper and Tori Adamchik, both 16 at the time, came over to the house to hang out. Cassie showed Brian and Tori around the house, including the basement. They went back upstairs to watch the second volume of Kill Bill. However, Brian and Tori left halfway through the movie, saying that they wanted to go see a movie that was starting soon at the local movie theater. On their way out, the boys went down to the basement and unlocked a door down there. They left and came back to the neighborhood, adorned in dark clothing, gloves, and some of the creepiest white masks I've ever seen. And I included a picture there just to show you.
Yes.
They're terrifying.
It is pretty creepy.
Yeah, they're like almost like if anybody knows that band Turbo Negro, like how he does the makeup, the kind of corpse paint makeup, like with the squiggly lines, but they're red. It's just super creepy. It does kind of look like a Slipknot mask a little bit.
I was leaning more towards Slipknot.
Yeah. Well, Turbo Negro people probably don't know that band. But it's kind of corpse painty, but with red. So they snuck back into the house through the unlocked door in the basement and cut the power. They made some noises in the basement to lure both Cassie and Matt down there so that they could, quote unquote, scare them. When they didn't come down, the boys turned back on the lights and abandoned that plan. The dogs at this point were growling and barking at the basement door. Sketched out, Matt called his mother to ask if he could spend the night and keep Cassie company. Being 16 and knowing that no adults would be present, his mother said no, but she did offer Cassie to come and spend the night at their house if she felt uncomfortable at the house. Matt's mother said that she could return her back to the house in the morning. Unfortunately, Cassie refused, not wanting to be irresponsible about the care of the animals. At around 10:30 p.m., Matt's mother came to pick him up, leaving Cassie seemingly alone in the house, not knowing that two of her quote-unquote friends were lurking in the basement. On the way home, Matt called Tori and Brian to see where they were. During the call, they whispered so Cassie couldn't hear them talking from the basement. Matt just figured that they were whispering because they were probably still at the movies. Let me take a moment to describe these fucking losers. As a child, Brian was adopted by the Draper family. He attended Pocatello High School with Cassie, who he had a crush on. Because she already had a boyfriend, Brian and her were just friends. Brian met Tori at school, and they were outcasts together. Big nerds who worshipped the likes of Columbine and serial killers, basically incels who thought the world owed them something because girls wouldn't look at them. It's a wonder that Cassie or Matt were even friends with them at all. I guess it goes to show that Cassie was a pretty great person who didn't turn anyone away. These two incels, and if you don't know what an incel is, it means involuntary celibate. It's a whole thing. These two incels have a lot of taped conversations that officers were quite literally able to dig up after the crime, which made their later convictions fairly easy to achieve. Here are some of the conversations performed by Friday and Kevin, mostly... this was especially made for you. Mostly on the day before and on the night of the murder. They're a little out of sequence and a little out of order because the tapes were really jumbled and jambled. And there was only one website I could find who had all the transcripts. And I will post that in our episode notes as well. I'll post all of our stuff that we used. I used a lot of articles to piece together this story. But like I said, most of these conversations were either the day before or on the night of the murder, both before and after. Brian will be played by Friday, and Tori will be played by Kevin. Some names have been changed to protect the innocent.
I'm Tori.
I'm Brian. We're going for a high death count.
Plus, we're not going to get caught, Brian. If we're going for guns, we're just going to end it. We're just going to grab the guns and get out of there and kill everybody and leave.
We're going to make history. We're going to make history.
For all of you FBI agents watching this, you weren't quick enough.
You weren't quick enough, and you weren't smart enough. And we're going over to Jane Doe 1's house. We're going to snoop around over there, try to see if she's home alone or not. And if she's home alone, splat! She's dead.
Don't put your humor into this, Brian.
I'm not putting any humor into it. Yep, people will die, and memories will fade.
Memories will fade. I wonder what move you got that from, Brian.
Myself! That was from myself!
No wonder it was so lame.
Okay, we're on our way, and I'll let you stay tuned. We're almost there.
Here's another segment.
We're going to call a girl and a guy named Cassie and Matt. They're our friends, but we have to make sacrifices. So I feel tonight, it's the night, and I feel really weird and stuff. I feel like I want to kill somebody. Oh. I know that's not normal, but what the hell?
I feel like we need to break away from normal life.
Pause. We found our victim, and sad as it may be, she's our friend. But you know what? We all have to make sacrifices. Our first victim is going to be Cassie Stoddart and friends.
God, turn your brights off, asshole.
We'll let you... We'll find out if she has friends over. If she's going to be alone in a big dark house out in the middle of nowhere, how perfect can you get? I mean, like, holy shit, dude.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, you have to read the script. Don't go off script.
I'm horny just thinking about it.
Hell yeah. So we're going to fucking kill her and her friends, and we're going to fucking gonna keep moving on. I heard some news about Jane Doe, too. She's going to be home alone from 6 to 7, so we might kill her and drive over to Cassie's thing and scare the shit out of them and kill them one by fucking one. Hell yeah.
Why one by one? Why can't it be a slaughterhouse?
2 by 2, 3 by 3, because we've got to keep it classy.
Keep it classy.
So yeah, it's going to be extra fun.
You're evil.
Yeah, I am. So are you, dude. Evil, evil.
No, evil is an expression of God. That was another test you failed.
Evil is not an expression of God.
Yes, it is.
That is bullshit and you know it.
Evil of origin is a follower of fucking Satan.
There is no Satan.
Is Satan real?
Then
shut up.
Then how are we supposed to express ourselves?
Good and bad.
We're bad.
We are bad.
That sounds so shitty.
We're evil. That sounds even shittier.
Hey, we're not okay. Then we are sick psychopaths who get their pleasure off killing other people.
That sounds good, baby.
We're gonna go down in history. We're gonna be just like Scream, except real life terms.
That sounds good, baby.
We're gonna be murderers. Like, let's see, Ted Bundy, like the Hillside Strangler?
No.
The Zodiac Killer?
Those people were more amateurs compared to what we're gonna be. We're gonna be more of a higher sources, say, Ed Gein.
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 Well, let's say that we're sick and that twisted.
Oh, you know what Ed Gein's words were?
What?
He saw a girl walking down the street, right?
Yeah.
Two questions came to his head. I could take her out and have a nice time with her.
And then kill her. Skin her alive.
Trying the pants off her. Or I wonder what her head would look like on a stick.
Holy shit.
It's creepy, huh?
Kick ass. Murder is power. Murder is freedom. Goodbye.
So one thing I just want to say, good job.
You're welcome.
And literally, I just want everyone to know those are literally word for word the words of the killers. So we did not, those were, this was not a shitty screenplay I made for this episode. That
for
was
the
a
record. I tried to take liberties and Amy shut it down.
Like, yes, I'm cutting
journalist.
This out. Yeah.
Integrity. That's what this podcast is about.
Are you what? Saying you had a hard time feeling the character?
So one thing I also want to say is that Ed Gein did not say that. That was Ed Kemper. They don't even...
These fucking noobs.
I know. So how did it feel like playing them in this portion? Like, do you guys really get a sense of what losers they are?
It pretty much felt like normal.
It takes one to know one. That's all.
Yeah, no, I can sympathize. Almost, but I'm not.
But you didn't kill anyone.
Well, no.
Different strokes kind of thing.
The day's still young.
Ew.
Mm.
So these friends of hers, Brian and Tori, that night tried to do the whole turn the lights off again thing to freak her out and then get her to come down to the basement so that they could attack her. What?
No, I just think Tori's fucking sick.
Tori's got a fucking sick name.
But she didn't bite again. She laid down on the couch and decided to watch some TV. So the two went upstairs with knives in hand and stabbed her 29 or 30 times with two knives, one serrated and one smooth. The autopsy later showed approximately 12 of the stab wounds were fatal, 11 of which came from one knife. The medical examiner said that she was likely killed by two different assailants. Additionally, crime scene investigators guessed that due to the location of Cassie's body, she likely got up to fight against her shadowy attackers adorned with creepy Halloween masks. Which, again, what a fucking terrifying way to die. And she had every inkling, every kind of doubt in her mind, you know what I mean? And then to be put completely alone, you know? And she had that, I'm sure she had that moment of like, I should have just gone with them. I hate that. Like, poor, helpless 16-year-old girl with her whole life ahead of her and these two fucking idiots who you just heard them, their words, you know? These two fucking idiots, like, taking away her life totally senselessly.
Yeah. And so being raised on horror movies and stuff, so you kind of desensitized to someone wearing a creepy mask and stuff. But
coming up from your basement?
When you see someone dressed like that, immediately you're kind of like, okay, it's not a big deal. But then they brandish a knife and then they come at you and start stabbing you. That's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, but again, also in your own house.
Yeah.
Coming up from the basement.
It wouldn't matter if they're wearing a mask or not. That'd be fucking terrible.
Yeah, to have anybody in your house, you just turn around and fucking somebody's right there.
It's even more fucked, like someone wearing a fucking like scream mask or whatever.
Yeah, and then on top of that, these are, I mean, I guess the only, it's not even a silver lining, but like the only thing is like she didn't have to know it was her friends killing her. I guess that's the only incentive to them wearing the masks. But again, like it doesn't matter. She died, you know? It's just fucking sad and pointless. So while driving away at 11:30 p.m. the night of the murder, they recorded their conversation on camera. And so once again, Friday and Kevin, take it away.
I just killed Cassie. We just left her house. This is not a fucking joke.
I'm shaking.
I stabbed her in the throat and I saw her lifeless body just disappeared. Dude, I just killed Cassie.
Oh my God.
Oh, fuck. That felt like it wasn't even real. I mean, it went by so fast.
Shut the fuck up. We gotta get our act straight.
It's okay. Okay? We'll just buy movie tickets now?
Okay.
No. Okay, bye.
We're gonna get the cops called on us. You said that so loud. There's like a dog barking.
Fuck!
Unfortunately, Stoddart's body was discovered by her family returning from their trip. Oh, fuck. Of all the people to find, her aunt and uncle found her body 2 days after the attack on September
24th. 2 days after?
So she was killed on the night of the 22nd, and the family came home on the 24th. So most likely the 22nd was a Friday and the 24th was Sunday.
That's 2 days is a long time for...
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly.
In a basement.
I don't think she was in the basement, I think, because they came upstairs and they attacked her and she was sprawled out on the floor. It was reportedly extremely traumatic for the family and it became very difficult to live in. Yeah, you don't say.
Yeah,
I know.
Really.
Yeah. And it became very difficult to live in or even sell the home in the wake of the tragedy. Brian and Tori were arrested on September 27th, 2006, and charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. During the interrogations, each teen blamed the other. Brian cracked first. He told the police that he was present when Cassie was killed, but didn't take part in the murder. He claimed that he was in the same room with Tori when Cassie was killed, but denied stabbing her. He later admitted stabbing her allegedly under commands from Tori. He led the investigators to Black Rock Canyon, where the youths had disposed of the clothing, masks, and knives they used for the murder. The evidence found buried sealed the boys' fate as the DNA was perfect matches for the killer. Amongst the buried things were things like matches, books, gloves, a melted down hydrogen peroxide bottle, creepy ass Halloween masks with the boys' DNA on them, two daggers with sheaths, a knife, a serrated folding knife with Stoddart's blood on it, a Sony videotape, which was later repaired and where we got our wonderful footage from. A burned piece of paper with one of the boys' handwriting on it, another pair of gloves with Cassie's blood soaked into them, a garbage bag, burned black clothing, a black shirt with Stoddart's blood on the cuff, black cord, and a sock. They each received their own separate trials. Brian said he was inspired by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, whereas Tori was inspired by the Scream movie franchise. Brian also went in pretty heavy with Tori doing all the stabbing. On April 17th, 2007, Brian was found guilty. Tori was convicted on June 8th, 2007. Both teenagers received life sentences without the possibility of parole, on top of 30 years to life in prison for conspiracy. Both have appealed their sentences. Brian's conviction for conspiracy was vacated, but the murder conviction still stands. And then, like I was saying earlier, it was this case called Miller versus Alabama, and it was decided in that case that mandatory life sentences without parole for juvenile offenders was unconstitutional. This means that Tori Adamczyk and Brian Lee Draper's sentences could be reviewed in the future. So, what do we think?
So, they said that 11 of the 12 fatal stab wounds were from one knife.
Yeah. And I bet you they tried to say, like those are the stab wounds from the other guy. You know, I'm sure that they use that as an opportunity to point the finger at each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
But it still doesn't matter, because that means that 20 other of the stab wounds were even, you know, superficial, but still, like, I'm sure she died of blood loss, you know? I mean, I'm not sure of that, but
she had 12 fatal stab wounds.
Yeah, 11 or 12. But I'm just saying that, like, they're both totally guilty.
I know. Yeah. It just seems like one person kind of knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's not how the law works, though. There was plenty of times where that guy
could have stopped it.
Tori could have fucking not been a part of it. How much time was there before their conversation that they had before they actually killed her?
Yeah. I mean, they have days of recorded, evidence. And when they revisited the case on appeal because of, like, the counsel being, like, not good enough or whatever, they played a lot of the audio footage, and that's all the judge and the jury needed to hear. They're like, yeah, fuck these guys. Like, lock them up forever. How dare they fucking talk about her like this? You know, like, fuck them. This is totally 100% premeditated murder. No fucking way are they ever getting out. Because the second they get out, they will kill again.
I don't know why these guys were inspired by Scream. It's not that good of a movie.
I know. I don't know why all four of these guys were inspired by Scream.
And weren't the killings in Scream supposed to be a part of, like, a greater picture they were trying to fucking, like, accomplish? There was, like...
And also, they had friends,
the individual,
you know?
Killings were supposed to amount to something, not just be, like, a random fucking human being.
Well,
a friend that they just want to kill.
Scream murders were really the Johnny Depp wannabe, Skeet Ulrich. I don't remember his... Oh, in the movie, he's Billy Loomis. It was supposed to be, like, retribution for him because Nev Campbell's mom made his father leave. Like, it was payback for his mom leaving the family. So, like, I think also, did he, in the movie, like, Skeet Ulrich, the Billy Loomis character, he actually also killed the mom too, right? Sorry, lots of spoilers. You should have watched it 24 years ago.
Yeah. It's been a long time. It was better then.
I will admit, I was a tiny bit scared by the movie, just because I think that the idea, I think that...
Poser alert.
Your friends killing you, like...
Yeah, that's
like,
fucking cold-hearted.
Yeah, and, like, he makes sure to sleep with her first. Like,
oh,
she loses her virginity right before he reveals.
Well, that's why she... Because when she was still a virgin, that's when she was still, like, untouchable for the killer,
yeah,
according
that's right.
to their little...
Jamie Kennedy.
Hypothesis. Character.
Well, that was Jamie Kennedy, yeah.
Yeah, they're killers.
I think that the scariest part of the movie as a 12-year-old, you know, who obviously never had a boyfriend or anything yet, was actually not the slasher stuff. It was that, like, your boyfriend could, like, talk you into sleeping with them and then, like, turn against you. I think that is actually the part I was scared of.
I think that's a good takeaway, Amy.
Yeah, no, I now, like, looking back on
it. That's the best part of the whole movie. That's actually the scariest part of the whole movie. That's kind of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's like the human relationships.
Another fucking Judas goat.
Yeah. You love that expression, huh?
This world is full of them.
Well, that's what I mean. There's like all these...
Kill them all.
There's all these pointless killings leading up to like that. Like, that's what he intended the whole entire time. Like, so just a bunch of unnecessary hot teenage death.
I wouldn't call it unnecessary. I wouldn't go that far.
Is it necessary? Well, I guess for the movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fucking movie. We're talking about the movies here, not fucking...
Well, we're also talking about real life, too.
I'm talking about the movies right now.
I just hate that these real life murders were inspired by a movie that wasn't all serious, you know? And like you were saying earlier, like these weren't meant to be like crazy horror films or anything like that. They were kind of knockoffy, you know?
Yeah, I could understand if like someone saw the first Texas Chainsaw and then started like fucking going Leatherface on everyone. But like, this is.
You
like
could see that?
I mean, that would be more inspiring than these two fucking losers in their. With the fucking. I don't know.
Okay, I'm cutting.
The movie accomplished its task.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
There you go. You can join our Facebook group at True Crime Dumpster. Follow us on Twitter, TC Dumpster, and on Instagram, True Crime Dumpster. You can email us at truecrimedumpster@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, truecrimedumpster.com. Listen to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and Spotify. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends about our podcast. Every review, rating, and referral helps us to get a larger audience. Tune in next time where we continue to talk out the trash and give you another heavy dose of true crime.
And also for the rest of October, we're going to be doing kind of like, you know, creepy murders. And hopefully next week we'll have another guest, a Canadian guest, maybe. And then the week after that, we will be at our 1 year podcast anniversary mark. So we'll have a special case there.
We're going to get all the listeners. We're going to order you cake. We're going to have a big party. Okay.
So thanks, you guys. Have a good week.
Friday, yep. Any last words?
Quick shout out, Pizza the Man, Dan, Scary Gary, No Filter Hilda, all that.
I actually want to say, Pizza Man Dan, your little pepperoni Corvette is fucking wicked, bro. Amy?
Bye.
Bye.